Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. For the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about being burdened. You know, there are so many people that are burdened. There are so many burdens that we carry around in our lives. And so for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the scripture in Matthew chapter 11 that reminds us that we can come to Jesus. It says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many would like some rest from Jesus today? I do. How many find that there are burdens in life that you're more than willing for Jesus to carry the load on? Amen? So we've been talking about burdens. Now, the first week we talked about the fact that we can be burdened by many things. And this isn't an exhaustive list, but we talked about real quickly, I just wanted to review that with you. We can be burdened by our position in life. We can be burdened by responsibilities. We can be burdened by wants and desires. We can be burdened by what has been, what could be. We can be burdened by failure. And then we talked about the fact that his yoke, taking his yoke upon us, offers us some relief from those burdens. We said that his yoke offers companionship. His yoke offers strength. His yoke offers a framework of perspective, of boundaries, and of direction or guidance and purpose in our lives. Now, last week, we went back to that scripture and we looked at the directives that Jesus gives us. Come, take, and learn. We talked about there being a right destination to find rest for our souls, and that is Jesus. Those directives, he says, come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. So the only way that we're going to find rest for our souls is to find the right destination, and that is Jesus Christ. Then we also said about those directives last week that they offer us the appropriate directives. Come. The same word used when Jesus invited the disciples to follow him. The same word that was used to say, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Something happens when we come to Jesus, when we decide to follow Jesus. That word take, it means to take upon oneself and carry, to receive, to accept. We have to be willing to receive his answers for our lives, his yoke upon us. And then learn. We said it means to learn by use and practice. And that as we come to Jesus, as we take his yoke upon us, we begin to learn the directions where to go. We begin to learn how to find relief from the burdens that we carry in our lives as we allow his strength to lead us and to guide us. But I want to ask a question this morning. What happens when the rest doesn't come right away? What happens when pastor preaches a couple of messages on Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and says, you know what, if you'll come to Jesus and take his yoke upon you, you will find rest for your souls. For his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and I encourage you and pray for you and say that, and you go back out and you say, pastor, the burdens didn't leave. I still feel the heaviness. I still feel the burden in my life of what I'm trying to carry. And I think I came to Jesus. I felt like I came to Jesus. I felt like, you know, I prayed, but I still feel the burden in my life. So I'm gonna preach on this one more Sunday, but I'm gonna take us back to a passage in Exodus. And in order to do that, I want to kind of set the framework here. So we're gonna go all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to see some passages there I've put those passages, at least the highlights of those passages, in your notes this morning. I want you to have those, keep those, take them with you, because the passages that I have underlined and bolded, I want those to be special to you in the coming days. I want you to go back to them often. I want you to read them, and I want you to see that God has a promise for you. That his promise in Matthew chapter 11 for you to find rest is the same promises that we're going to read about in the book of Exodus. I want you to see how much God cares for you. I want you to see how much God is concerned for the burdens that you are carrying. And when you read those passages, I don't want you to think about the Israelites. I want you to think about your burdens that you are carrying. We know that the children of Israel went down into Egypt while Joseph was there, and there was a great famine, and he sent for his family, and they all came down to Egypt, and then they began to dwell there, but they stayed there. They stayed there not just a couple of decades, but for 430 years they dwelled in the land of Egypt. During that time, there was a change in leadership, and the Pharaoh wasn't favorable to these Israelites because they were very numerous and they were prospering. And so he put them into forced labor. He put things into play like, I want all of the babies that are male to be thrown into the Nile. And you know the story of Moses and his birth and him being raised and then his fleeing from Egypt, him spending time on the backside of the desert, and then his call from God. And where we're going to begin reading this morning is in the midst of that call from God to Moses. The Lord said, verse 7 of chapter 3, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I want you to know something this morning. God has seen your burden. God knows this morning. It's not something that he's unaware of. He knows your misery. He said, I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I don't care what kind of burden you're carrying this morning. So many times it feels like that burden is running us. We're a slave to that burden in our life. God knows when you cry out to him because of the burdens that you are under. He says, and I am concerned about their suffering. And then he goes on to say, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is here to bring you up out of your land of misery and burden, whatever it may be. God is here. And the same God that was concerned about the Israelites is concerned about you this morning. We read further in beginning in verse 16 of that same chapter. It says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised, say promised, I have promised to bring you up out of your misery. I believe Matthew chapter 11 is a promise of God that is likened unto the promise that was given to the Israelites, that God says, if you come to me, I will bring you up out of your misery. God has promised that to us. I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Again, compare that with Matthew 11, where he says, come to me, you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your souls. God has a new land for you. It's not a land of misery, but it's a land of promise. It's a land of relief. Amen? In fact, we'll get there in just a minute. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that this transition from Egypt into the promised land was a promise of God to bring the children of Israel into his rest. We'll read it in just a few minutes. This promise, when we get to the New Testament, the Bible tells us that this was a promise to bring them into the rest of God. Now, again, as we've talked in this whole thing, it didn't mean that there wasn't stuff for them to do. It didn't mean that God strung some hammocks for them and that they were just going to spend the rest of their lives swinging back and forth and God would miraculously bring grapes and meat to them and feed them. No, there was still work for them to do, but it was a rest out from underneath the burden of their slavery and their misery into the plan that God had for their lives. So, Exodus chapter 4. Let's turn over there this morning. And we read that Moses did what God told him to do. He got the leaders, the elders of the Israelites together. Verse 29. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. So all of those promises that we just read, Aaron repeated to the leaders of the Israelites. He also performed the signs before the people. What signs? Do you remember the signs that God had given to Moses? Just so that they would know that he wasn't making this up, but this truly was from God, right? Anybody remember what the signs were? The staff, right? That was one of them. He was to take the staff in his hand, throw it down, and what happened to the staff? It would become a snake. And then he was to reach down and pick it up, and it would become a staff again. Was there any other sign that God gave to Moses to show the children of Israel that it was him? The leprosy on his hand. God said, put your hand in your cloak. Moses did. Pull it out. And it was leprous. And then he put it back in, and it was clean. He showed these signs to the children of Israel so that they would know and understand that there was not just a man called Moses behind these promises, but there was a God behind these promises. And I want to tell you from the perspective of Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want you to know that he has given us a sign. It is his death and his resurrection from the grave. So when he makes a promise to you, it is not just because he's a man. It is because he is your Savior. He is your Lord who has gone before you, conquered the cross, conquered the grave, and said, it is I. So they brought them together. He performed the signs. And then I want you to see this verse. And verse 31 says, and they believed. And they believed. So I read a scripture like Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you believe. That's for me. That promise is for me. I believe you, Pastor. I'm going to go down to the altar. I'm going to have you pray for me. I've been praying. I'm coming to Jesus so that I can find rest. I believe. They believed. They really did. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Ask any pastor if that's cool. He'll tell you, yeah, that's cool. If I can get up and preach a sermon and people respond with faith and they come down to the altars and worship the Lord, that's what I want. Mission accomplished. They believed and they worshiped the Lord. They responded to the Lord's message with faith. They responded to the Lord's message with hope. Oh, we have hope now? They responded to the Lord's message with praise. And they were excited to know that their burdens would soon be lifted and that God had special plans for them. But when Aaron and Moses went to Pharaoh and gave him God's message, same message that they'd given to the Israelites, he not only refused to let them go, but he made their burden even heavier. Is that correct? Read with me in Exodus chapter 5. So this is after Aaron and Moses come to Pharaoh. He says, absolutely not. Since that same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Verse 9, make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. When you begin to pay attention to the truth of God's word, and when you begin to respond in faith and in hope and in praise to God, to that promise, the enemy comes in and will try to make your burden even heavier so that you will pay no attention to what he calls lies. Remember, everything that God proclaims as a promise, as truth, in the eyes of the enemy is a lie. But he's a liar himself. He's the father of lies. And so he's lying to you. He's trying to get you to believe that what God has promised you, what God has said is true, is a lie. And you know how he gets you to believe it's a lie? He brings more burden into your life. You say, well, I came to God because I had this burden over here, and I needed some rest from that. I needed some answers from God. I needed some hope. I needed some peace in my life. And when I did that, then five other things fell apart in my life. And now I'm having to deal with that too. Why? Because the enemy wants you to believe that what God has promised you is a lie. He doesn't want you to pay attention to what God has promised, what God has said he will do. He will do. But the enemy says, if I make it harder, maybe they won't pay attention. Because he knows if you pay attention, something's going to happen. He's going to lose his hold over your heart and your mind and your situation. Amen? Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. So maybe you feel like that's what's happened recently in your life, that things have just gotten harder. Let's keep reading in Exodus chapter 5. Skip down to verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? See, Moses struggled with what was happening too. He gets a message of hope and promise and rest and bringing them out. And he gives it and they believe it and things go downhill. So Moses goes to God, and he says, God, why are you doing this? You promised you'd bring them out, but so far all they've gotten is trouble. Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. The next time you're doubting, I tell you this all the time. When you're struggling, when you have something that's really got you confused or even angry and you don't understand it, it's okay to take it to the Lord and talk to him about it. In fact, God would much rather you talk to him about it than talk to other people about it. And he's a big God, and he can answer. Did you just hear what Moses accused God of? That's the kind of relationship that God and Moses had. Moses would go tell God how he felt. It's okay for you to go tell God how you feel. Don't feel like you got to walk into the presence of God and put on some charade and say, oh man, I thank you God, I love you, and everything's just great. And when inside your heart there's questions, and inside your heart there's hurt, and inside your heart there's pain. Release that unto God. That's part of the process of healing. And it's part of the process of your burdens being relieved. Don't keep it in. Don't find somebody else to go share it with, because they can't bear your burdens. But God can. That's why we read it last week. Cast all, right, of your cares, all of your anxieties upon the Lord, because he cares for you. So Moses goes to God and he says, you haven't rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of the mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I mean, so much more than this, but I just hear God saying, tell them, I got this. I got this. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Now, remember his first message. I've heard, I'm concerned, I'm going to bring you into out of Egypt and into a land of flowing with milk and honey. Here his promise goes even deeper. And again, I want you to compare it with Matthew 11:28. Here God says, not only am I bringing you out from all of this, but there's a reason I'm doing it. I am doing this to make you my own people. Now hear me. When Jesus promises to give you rest in Matthew 11:28, he promises to do so by bringing you into relationship with him. Take my yoke, learn from me. When God promised the Israelites to bring them out of Egypt, he did so by promising to bring them into relationship with him. I will be their God. What other God promises such an intimate relationship between himself and his people? Our God, the God, says, I want relationship with you, and I'm bringing you out, and you're going to have rest, and you're going to have a new home, and you're going to the land flowing with milk and honey. But it's more than all of that. It's more than just coming out from underneath your burdens. It's more than just about having a better life and enjoying that life. It's about having a full relationship with me. That's what I really want out of all of this, is for you to be partnered with me, to know that I'm your God and you are my people. So Moses reports this, verse 9, to the Israelites, and I want you to see these words. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him. because of their discouragement and harsh labor. They couldn't hear. They couldn't respond the way they had just responded a day or so earlier. They couldn't respond with belief. They couldn't respond with praise. The Bible says they didn't even listen. It's the same promise reiterated and brought with even more power, but it says they didn't listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. The heaviness of the burden that they were carrying and the increase of the burden that was put upon them caused them to turn a deaf ear to the promises of God. What changed? Or better yet, what didn't change? What didn't change was their burden. Their burden didn't immediately go away. And not only that, it got worse. And sometimes that's how our burdens feel, like a vicious taskmaster that won't let us go. So again, I preach a couple messages about coming to Jesus and finding rest, and you respond in faith and believing God for the rest you need, but nothing changes, or even more, the burdens pile on. So what do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves in a similar position as the Israelites and the burdens are still there and they feel heavier than they did even before? What do we do now? So I'm going to give you just four things this morning. You can fill them in your notes. We're going to read a few more scriptures, but I want you to get this. Pay attention to the story that we just read. Pay attention to Matthew 11:28 and the scriptures that we're going to read from the New Testament about the story in Exodus. And there's four things that I want you to do. You need to continue to believe. What I do if my burdens are still heavy today, if they've gotten worse, continue to believe. When they first received the promise of God, they believed and they worshiped. But then, when they heard the promise of God again, and because things hadn't changed soon, quickly in their lives, they didn't even listen. How can you believe if you don't listen? Continue to believe that the promises of God are true. What do we need to continue to believe? Continue to believe that He hears your cries. No matter what burdens you're under this morning, know that you know that you know that God hears your cries. That's the message that He gave them at first, and that's the message that is still true today. Whatever the inward cries of your heart, God knows them right now. Continue to believe that He cares for you. Again, that's the message that He gave them. Not only have I heard your cry, but I'm concerned. I care. Right here in this place this morning, God cares what you're going through. And number three, continue to believe that He will bring you out. For some reason, in just a few days, they lost all of that. And they didn't respond by believing. The harshness of their circumstances caused them to turn a deaf ear, to have a hardness of heart that would not receive the promises of God, even though they were the same promises and even made bigger with this promise of relationship. They did not listen because of their harsh labor and their discouragement. Don't be discouraged this morning. I'm not telling you don't feel the burden, but I'm telling you don't be discouraged. Because God hears your cries and He cares for you and He will bring you out. the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 3, we read a reference to this very thing that we've been talking about in Exodus chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and here in Exodus 6. And it starts at the beginning of that chapter, and it says this: "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." He begins that chapter, and he says, don't be discouraged. Fix your eyes on Jesus. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the burdens in your life, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is your apostle and high priest. And that's, I believe, the message that God sent through Moses to the children of Israel. Don't listen to what Pharaoh's saying. Don't look at the heaviness of the burdens that he has put upon you in addition to what you already carried, but keep your eyes on me. And that's why God, through Moses, told Moses to give them an even deeper description of who he was. In fact, that passage that we read in Exodus, God says, I am the Lord. I didn't even reveal that much of myself to your forefathers. They didn't know me by this name that I'm giving you, but I'm giving you even more of me so that you'll keep your eyes on me. And that's what we need to do, folks. When the heaviness of our burden doesn't immediately go away, it's not quit believing that what Jesus has promised in Matthew 11, 28 is not real, that if we come to him, he will give us rest, but it is to fix our eyes on him. Now, let's move ahead just a few verses here. And beginning in verse 7, our writer of Hebrews continues to go on. So, if that's true, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. Now, this is referencing back to the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God says, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, don't harden your heart. For 40 years, they saw what I did. And yet, they still struggled to hear and to believe in their hearts, in who I am and what I want to do for their lives. He says, your ancestor tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, listen to this, they shall never enter my rest. They're never going to find the rest that I promised them from coming out of Egypt. Even though they came out of Egypt, they never found the rest that God had promised them because they didn't believe. And they didn't continue to believe that God heard them, that he cared for them, and that he was bringing them out. He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, and listen to what God says, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Do you understand what I'm preaching? He's saying, don't quit believing. Continue to believe. As just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So, verse 19, here's our key. We see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. What kept them from finding the rest of God for the burdens of their souls? Their unbelief. They allowed the harshness, and there's many more things that happen. Don't get me wrong, but I'm pointing to this one instance that's very key. They allowed the harshness of their burdens to harden their heart of faith, and their unbelief kept them from experiencing the true rest of God. So what do? We continue to believe. It's very simple. Continue to believe that He cares for you, that He hears you, that He cares for you, and that He will bring you out. That He hears you, that He cares for you, and that He will bring you out. Number two, continue to trust. Continue to trust. Now I want you to think back to the story of the Exodus one more time as I talk about these thoughts. What did God want them to trust Him in? And what does God want you to trust Him in today, especially in regards to the burdens that you're carrying? Continue to trust that He will break the bondage of the enemy. When they first heard the report from Moses, they believed, right? And they praised God. But because their circumstances didn't immediately change, they didn't trust. And so the rest of the stuff later on that came out of Moses' mouth, they didn't listen to, because they didn't trust what he was saying was actually going to come to pass. What do we have to trust God? That God will, whatever burdens you're carrying, we need to trust that God will break the bondage of the enemy. You see, Egypt had Israel in bondage. They were slaves. And God, it took God to break that hold of the enemy. And many of the burdens in our lives, most of the burdens that we carry in our lives, it's going to require God's power, God's strength, to break those bondages. And so it was a process, wasn't it? The Bible tells us that, and God had it all planned out, but it was a process, and so it took not one, not two, not three, four, five, six, even seven, eight, or nine, it took 10 plagues of God coming against the Egyptians before that bondage was broken. Now, it's not up to you and I to decide what plagues to bring against the enemy. It's up to you and I to trust that God knows what He's doing, and He will break the bondage of the enemy so that we can come out from underneath that burden. That's what we got to do. Number two, you got to trust and continue to trust that God will provide what you need. You see, when we read that passage in Hebrews chapter 3, one of the things that we got to remember about this whole process of bringing them out is they constantly grumbled against God because they didn't trust. Okay, you got us this far, but now we're going to die because there's no water. Okay, you got us this far, but now we're going to die because there's no meat. Okay, you got us this far, but now we're going to die because the enemy has a big army. And they didn't trust. You've got to trust that He will provide what you need. See, that's why he's our burden bearer. That's why he wants you to yoke up with him. He wants you to trust that if you do take his yoke upon you, that what you didn't have before to carry the load, you will have now, because his strength is going to carry that load for you. He will provide what you need. And then the third thing that we need to continue to trust is that he will make a way where there is no way. Because so many of our burdens, we get discouraged when we come to a blockade, you know. And we think, man, there's a little bit of progress. I'm starting to see headway. Come on, anybody ever been there? I'm starting to see headway. I'm starting to see an answer. I'm starting to get a plan figured out. And then it's like, and that's what happened to the Israelites. 10 plagues. The hand of God is mighty and powerful. Pharaoh throws them out of Egypt. They rejoice. They get all their stuff. Egyptians are even giving them stuff. Say, here, take this. Take it with you. Providing everything that they need. God is doing this. And they march out of Egypt. And they take the way that God told them to take. And then by golly, what do they run up against? The Red Sea. But it wasn't just the Red Sea, was it? They looked behind them and they saw clouds of dust because the Egyptians had changed their mind and they were riding after them with their horses and their chariots and their army, and they were going to kill them all or bring them back. Now, where do we go? We can't go backwards. We can't go forwards. What do we do? You know what God told Moses? Come on. What did God tell Moses? He said, stand. Yeah, he told him, take the staff and raise it. But he told him, so Moses ran to God. God said, stand, see what I'm going to do. And God opened up an impassable way. Did he not? God opened up an impassable. You can't march through that water. And there had to be so many miracles going on here because I don't care. You pull the waters back. You couldn't even march through that. It would still be so muddy. You would sink down so quick. It would take you forever. Somehow God brought them through, opened up a way for them so that they could cross over. And then God not only did that, but he took care of, take us back to the first part here, that he will break the bondage of the enemy. So the enemy follows them in. God makes the wheels fell off their chariots and confusion, gets them all right where he wants them. And then he closes the water back in over them. I just want you to continue to trust today that he will break the bondage of the enemy, that he will provide what you need, and that he will make a way where there is no way. You say, you don't understand how big my burden is. It doesn't matter. You got to understand how big my God is. Amen. Number 3. Continue to follow. Continue to follow. See, God wasn't done in this whole process of deliverance. And what they had to do was continue to believe, continue to trust, but they also had to continue to follow. And that's what God is telling you in Matthew 11:28 when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God's saying, follow me. Whole reason that I'm coming together in relationship with you is so that you will follow me. We'll be linked together. And you're going to feel the pull of my spirit telling you which way to go, showing you we're going to be yoked together. And when I go this way, you're going to feel that. And you're going to know that, man, I should be turning too. I should be going in the direction God's going. Well, in the case of the Israelites, God sent his presence to be in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And he showed them which way they should go. Problem was they didn't always want to follow. Right? And so they grumbled and they complained and they pulled against the yoke and just continue to follow. God's leading you. He's promised you that he would bring you into his rest. He's leading you. He's showing you. Just keep following him. No matter what, keep following him. And then finally this morning, continue to obey. Continue to obey. You see, I think one of the things that causes us to miss the rest of God in our lives is our lack of obedience to what he's showing us and what he's teaching us, what he's telling us, and what he wants us to do. First Corinthians chapter 10. Here is another passage that alludes to what happened in Exodus in the deliverance of the Israelites. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in the first verse, it says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food." There's that provision from God. We didn't even talk about that. That God will provide what you need. So not only does he take care of them in so many ways and give them water and give them meat, but says that for 40 years he gave them manna every day, except for on the Sabbath. He gave them manna every day. He gave them what they needed. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And Paul ties it in here with what we've been doing today. That rock was Christ. "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." So they didn't enter that rest. They didn't find that relief for their souls. And then he says, "Now these things occurred to as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.' We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes." Isn't it interesting that he says they tested Christ? He didn't say they tested God. He said they tested Christ. It's another sermon. "And do not grumble, and do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." You got these burdens and you think, "Man, I got it. Because no temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Amen. So God says that part of our rest coming from partnering with him and entering into relationship comes from the fact that we obey what he's telling us to do. And God says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you which way you should go, but you got to obey it. And there's no situation, there's no burden, there's nothing that can come into your life that's not common to mankind, but I've got a way out so that you can escape it, that you can endure it. So let me end with this question then. We say, then where is my way out today? Where is my way out? Well, I've given you four important things that I believe show you the way out. But I want to close with these three verses. And then I'm going to ask you, if you're here today, I haven't done this in the last couple weeks. I had you stand a couple weeks ago. And I prayed for you. But I want to pray over you today as individuals. If you're here and you're carrying a burden in your life, that you say, I need to know. I need to know that God has rest for my soul. And I need to know that He will bring me out. I need to know that I can endure it. Then I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment and just stand in the altar and give me time to just pray over you today. I'm nobody special. There's nothing special about my prayer, but sometimes it's just nice to have personal interaction. Amen?